We're blessed to have Danny Skarsten preach for us today. Danny's a graduate of Biola's graduate school, and he's been involved in youth ministry and college ministry. And he and his wife, Kara, have attended Church the Redeemer over this past year and have also been instrumental in helping out at Hope Anglican Fellowship in Hudson. So you please join with me in praying for Danny. Lord, I pray that you would bless the words of Danny's mouth and all of the preparation he has put in for this word for us today. And we pray that your spirit would be upon our ears, opening our ears to hear how you would speak to us through him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, because I haven't met some of you, by way of introduction, our family comes from the other side of the river in Wisconsin, where on Sunday afternoons, good Christians are not confused about which team to cheer for. And we've been coming here for about the last 8 months or so, and this has been just a big blessing to our family. We've felt very welcome. We have felt very edified with the worship here. Our children have been blessed by the children's ministry, and of course, as parents, if you're parents, you know, you've been blessed by the children's ministry as well. And my wife has really been blessed by the women's ministry as well. So we are very blessed to be a part of this community. If you wouldn't mind, Paul just prayed, but pray with me again, please. Gracious Father, we ask you to draw near to us. We ask that you would use this time to conform our hearts and our lives to reflect your glory. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you have been paying attention to the gospel readings for the last couple months, you may have noticed a progression, a thematic progression. For the last several months, Jesus has had his face set towards Jerusalem, where he is going for the final week of his life. He's making his final trip to Jerusalem, where he's going to be tried and murdered. Okay, and Luke has recorded about 10 chapters of this travelogue, where Jesus is traveling with his disciples heading to Jerusalem. And throughout this travelogue, themes of redemption and salvation keep occurring, okay? And we've also seen that money plays a prominent role in this, okay? And so today, we have a climax. Today is the last event before Jesus enters Jerusalem. And so it's a big reading we have, okay? Look with me at our reading. He, meaning Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. Now, who is this Zacchaeus guy? Luke tells us that he is a tax collector and that he's rich. Now, at this time, the Jewish land was occupied by Imperial Rome. And so the Jews had to pay their taxes to the Romans, and you may or may not be aware, but they were really unhappy about it. The Jews at this time really did not like the Romans. There's a Disney movie of many years ago about Robin Hood, the animated version of Robin Hood, which you probably saw because you're good people. And if you remember this one scene, there's this little bunny family, and they're celebrating the little bunny boy's birthday. And everybody has saved up for weeks and weeks to give this boy a present, and they no sooner did they give him this one gold coin, which is all they have, than the sheriff of Nottingham comes in, and he's this big fat weasel. And he is all happy to take the boy's golden coin. Okay? Now, of course, this scene in the movie, it's entertaining because it's a Disney movie, and, you know, it's a kid's movie. But for the Jews, this is real life. For the Jews, that sheriff is a living, breathing part of their lives, and his name is Zacchaeus. Okay, are you with me so far? Zacchaeus is not a good guy. And when Jesus comes to town, we have a dramatic scene, okay? A large crowd is following Jesus. Why is a large crowd following Jesus? Well, remember that Jesus has been going up and down the countryside performing all these really amazing miracles. He's been teaching these revolutionary, life-giving truths. And people are wondering, is this guy the Messiah? Is this guy the Christ? Is he the anointed one? For hundreds of years ago, Jewish prophets foretold of the anointed one who was going to come and was going to kick out the foreign oppressors and restore Jerusalem as God's kingdom on earth. And so when Jesus is in Jericho, they're wondering, is this the anointed one? And then Jesus sees Zacchaeus in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. And we have a moment. It's pretty dramatic. The crowd gets all quiet, like this room is. And the expectation is that Jesus is going to give it to him. Zacchaeus is rotten. He has hurt us. And if we were a part of that crowd, we would all have that same reaction. It's easy to miss how deplorable Zacchaeus was and the justice he deserved when we read this scripture, because we know what happens next, and because Zacchaeus was not a part, he's not a part of our lives. But each of us has a little Zacchaeus or many Zacchaeuses running around in our own lives. Each of us has people that, if we could, we wish the anointed one would call down fire upon, or at least send the IRS to give them a bunch of harassment, right? When I was in high school, there was one of my peers. She had to take care of her mom for 2 years all by herself while her mom died of cancer. And she had to take care of her mom all by herself because her dad left. He couldn't stand it, and he left his daughter to take care of his dying wife. Now, not only did he do this, he began living with a new girlfriend. And this new girlfriend was this dying wife's best friend. And not only that, they got married two weeks after the mom died. Now, just imagine that this guy comes through the doors right now. How do you think I would feel if Father Paul says hi and gives him a big hug and is overjoyed to welcome him to share communion with us? Each of us has Zacchaeus running around in our own hearts. There are people in our lives that we think are just a little too far from the redeeming power of Jesus. But neither Zacchaeus nor this father I talked about is too far from the redeeming power of Jesus. Jesus' redeeming power is available to all of us. How can a guy like Zacchaeus be redeemed? Well, remember that this event takes place just outside Jerusalem a week before the crucifixion. Imagine that during this week of Passover, that Zacchaeus found his way to Jerusalem. Imagine that Zacchaeus attended the trial. Imagine that Zacchaeus went to the foot of the cross. What did Zacchaeus see hanging on the cross? Zacchaeus saw the king of the world, beaten and broken, dangling on the cross in Zacchaeus' place. Zacchaeus saw the anointed one, whom the prophets foretold, hanging on the cross in his place. Zacchaeus was so rotten that he needed the Christ, the anointed one, to reach down from the cross and to lift him up. That was Zacchaeus, but how about people like us? How about me? How about you? Are you bad enough like Zacchaeus to need the cross? Or is there another system for people like us? Is there another system to make us redeemed with God? Our culture, there's a definite religion in our culture. Sociologists have studied it. And according to this culture that's all around us, we can be right with God if we're good. If we're just good people, we can be right with God. And if you recall in this story, Zacchaeus gives a bunch of money away. He gives half of his money away, and if he's bamboozled anybody, he'll restore it four times. Zacchaeus does a good thing, he gives a lot of money away. According to the religion of our culture, Zacchaeus just bought his way to heaven. Zacchaeus was a good guy, right? But Zacchaeus and Jesus know better. They know that Zacchaeus was so rotten that he cannot redeem himself. I used to listen to a radio program as I drove to work, and for those of you who don't know, the radio is a little black box in the middle of your dashboard. And I remember an interview that one of these two hosts did with a woman named Patty. And Patty had a hard life. When her mom was 8 months pregnant with Patty, her older sister died. And so Patty was born into a world that with a grieving mother. And life didn't get much better for Patty for a long time. Patty's father was abusive, and when she was a kid, he left, and when she was 9, he died, so she never had a chance to reconcile with her father. Her mother had a string of live-in boyfriends who sometimes they would sexually abuse the children. And then one thing Patty said in the interview is that every girl grows up wanting their dad to tell her that she's beautiful, a beautiful princess. And instead, what Patty learned from the men in her life is that they're going to hurt you and that they're going to leave you. So you really can't be all that surprised when Patty was in high school and she ran away. And where she landed was a house of kids kind of like her, other runaway teens. And they filled their days with sex and drugs and rock and roll. And for a while, this life was fulfilling and it was fun for Patty. And really the only connection she had to anything remotely Jesus-y was this Christian ministry for kids like Patty. It was a center that was just like kind of like a place for them to come and hang out. And Patty and her friends would use it to stay warm at night, and they'd use it to do drugs in the bathroom. Now, like I said, this life was fulfilling for a while, but you probably know that human beings aren't built to live this way. And if anybody who does live this way is going to fall apart after a while. And Patty did fall apart. After a while, she felt pretty bad, and she felt so bad that she didn't see any way out, and she tried to take her life. But she didn't succeed, and when she regained consciousness, she was in a hospital bed. Now, you might think that Patty had hit rock bottom at this point. Usually people who attempt suicide, that's rock bottom. But Patty had not yet hit rock bottom. She hit rock bottom at the hospital bed because none of her friends came to visit. Here she was alone, she's scared, embarrassed, and she's needing a whole lot of love, and nobody in her life is there to visit her. There was only one person that came to visit her at the hospital, and that was the pastor of this ministry. He had heard about what had happened. And when he walked in, she saw he was carrying a rose. And he gave her the rose, and he said, "Patty, God told me to give you this rose because he needs you to know that you are beautiful just like this rose." And Patty thought to herself, "Yeah, right. Whatever I am, it is not a beautiful rose." But this was a spark. This was a glimmer of hope, and it was a break in Patty's life that she needed. Because in the weeks and then in the months and in the years that followed, Patty began to explore who this God was and how this God, as broken as she knew she was and as dirty as she felt, he could see her as beautiful. She learned who this God was, who, as broken as she knew she was, she could be redeemed. What Patty needed was the Christ to reach down from the cross and to lift her up, because Patty simply did not have the resources to do it. Zacchaeus was such a rotten guy that he did not have the resources to redeem himself. He needed the Christ to reach down from the cross and to lift him up. And it's the glorious truth that we're no different. Christ's redemption is available to all of us. That's just a glorious truth. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your redeeming power in our lives. And I pray for this congregation, this people. I ask for the redeeming power of their lives to be apparent, to be real in their lives, and that we would live transformed lives in the power of your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.